Will the Asiana crash mean improved international standards? Asiana pilots delayed passengers' evacuation. And Canadians have won the Sikorsky Prize. This is Aero News for Friday, July 12, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Two New York Democratic legislators are calling on the FAA to press the ICAO to adopt its recently released standards for pilot training in the wake of the Asiana Airlines accident in San Francisco. In a joint news release, Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, and Congressman Brian Higgins, Democrat of New York, say that the accident and the other recent crashes, like the Colgan Flight 3407, quote, demonstrate a troubling pattern in which pilots are mishandling airspeed, which can lead to fatal stalls. We have new, tighter pilot safety standards that beef up pilot training requirements set to take effect later this year, and we're asking that these regulations be implemented immediately. We're also asking the FAA to review bilateral agreements and push these standards at the United Nations to ensure American passengers traveling in and out of the country have properly trained pilots, end quote. The two legislators carried on, saying that if foreign pilots want to operate in U.S. airspace, they should meet U.S. requirements. If not, the FAA should limit their carrier's ability to operate in the United States. Meanwhile, ALPA has released a statement praising the FAA for increasing the minimum qualification requirements for first officers, co-pilots, who fly for U.S. passenger and cargo airlines. The new rule mandates that airline first officers hold an Air Transport Pilot or ATP certificate, or the new Restricted ATP, which will require pilots to be at least 21 years old and with at least one of the following: 750 flight hours if they are military trained, 1,000 flight hours if trained in a 4-year college or university, 1,250 hours if trained in a 2-year college aviation program, and pilots who obtain their certificates and ratings via non-structured general aviation flight training can qualify for the restricted ATP at age 21 with 1,500 hours of flight time. The new rule also requires, per ALPA's recommendation, that first officers be type-rated in the aircraft they fly in airline service. At ALPA's urging, the FAA has not changed the type of medical certification required for airline first officers. They still will be required to hold a second-class FAA Airman Medical Certificate. The NTSB says that the evacuation of Asiana Flight 214 was delayed by about 90 seconds because the pilot told the flight attendants to keep the passengers in their seats. In a briefing held Wednesday, NTSB Chairman Deborah A.P. Hirschman said that two of the emergency slides aboard the plane deployed inside the cabin, effectively pinning two of the 12 flight attendants on board. Bloomberg News reports that the evacuation did not begin until one of the senior flight attendants saw a fire begin in the right engine and notified the captain. The fire did not reach the cabin until everyone had been evacuated from the plane. Hirschman also said that three of the flight attendants sitting in the rear of the plane on landing were ejected from the fuselage by the impact. That number had originally been reported as two. Hirschman said that the pilot's decision not to immediately evacuate the airplane was not necessarily wrong. She said sometimes crews wait for emergency responders to arrive to help assure a safe evacuation of an airplane, adding, quote, "The pilots are in the front of the airplane. They really don't have a good sense of what's going on behind them," end quote. The Toronto-based AeroVelo team, derived from the word aerodynamic and the French term for bicycle, led by Dr. Todd Reichert, pilot and chief engineer, and Cameron Robertson, co-chief engineer, have won the prestigious Sikorsky Prize. The American Helicopter Society and Sikorsky Aircraft presented the Sikorsky Prize for the flight of a human-powered helicopter at a special ceremony Thursday at the Soccer Center in Vaughan, Ontario, where the record-breaking flight was conducted on June 13th. The team, comprised largely of students at the University of Toronto, beat the 33-year-old challenge last month, flying its Atlas above 3 meters, 9.8 feet, and hovering for approximately 64 seconds. The AHS first issued the human-powered flight challenge way back in 1980 with an initial prize of $10,000. Since then, many teams have attempted to meet the objective of creating a helicopter that could rise 3 meters and hover over a 10-meter by 10-meter box for 1 minute, using only human-generated power. More than 20 human-powered helicopters have been designed and built since the competition began, though only a handful have ever gotten off the ground. AeroVelo's Atlas vehicle is the largest human-powered helicopter to have flown and the first in Canada, with each of its 4 rotors measuring nearly 70 feet. The airframe is constructed of very light carbon tube and polymer, weighing only 115 pounds, with a highly modified bicycle frame pedaled by the pilot. It first flew in August 2012. When AeroNews continues, Lisa airplanes to return to AirVenture, Russia's rocket flew upside down for a reason, and the show must go on in San Diego.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Friday, July the 12th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Lisa Airplanes will be at Oshkosh again this year, the second consecutive year that they'll participate at the show. But that was not a foregone conclusion. The company went into receivership last year and has been restructured. The company said in a news release that they emerged from receivership in April, and they've been able to restart activity on the Akoya program. Lisa Airplanes said that it has been through its quote-unquote economic turbulences and is now able to finalize its emblematic airplane and its international business development. The French company says it's restarted the Akoya program and that everyone is back and working on production preparation of the multi-access airplane and its certification program. Lisa Airlines calls AirVenture a must for the aviation industry. Lisa's team will introduce Akoya's innovations and their multiple assets at the same location as last year. But the airplane, which was something of a darling at last year's show, will not be on display. Because Lisa is focused on its clients' deliveries, they say the plane will remain in France for continued testing around the Bourget du Lac in Savoy. An investigation conducted by Roscosmos has found that sensors aboard the Proton rocket that went down just after launch earlier this month were installed upside down, causing them to send incorrect information to the vehicle's onboard computers. The publication RussianSpaceWeb.com reports that the angular velocity sensors are marked with arrows that are supposed to point toward the nose of the rocket. Investigators combing through the wreckage found that the arrows were pointing down instead. When the rocket launched, the flight control system tried to correct for the data it was receiving from those sensors, causing the rocket to veer out of control and fly toward and impact the ground. 3 satellites were lost in that accident. The City of San Diego's City Council unanimously passed a resolution Monday night calling on the Department of Defense to hold the Miramar Air Show this fall. While the show has not so far been officially canceled, sequestration has forced the scrapping of dozens of air shows around the country. The show is scheduled for October 4th through the 6th. City officials say $17 million in economic impact can be directly or indirectly attributed to the show. UT San Diego reports that the resolution was introduced by Councilwoman Lori Zapf, who said that the city needed to be proactive in its efforts to be sure the show goes on as scheduled. During public comments, the council heard from Larry Bloomberg, the executive director of the San Diego Military Affairs Council, who said that canceling the show could mean the loss of funding for programs like childcare for military personnel. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.